Now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer.
Amen.
This evening is Maundy Thursday. Such an unusual name. I think in my childhood I almost thought it was Monday Thursday, somehow combining 2 days of the week. But of course, that would be nonsense. And the spelling of Maundy is M-A-U-N-D-Y, not Monday. So what is it about, and why does it have this unusual name? You have heard the readings, one from Exodus about the Passover, the one from 1 Corinthians about the Last Supper, and the one from John, the Gospel of John, about the washing of the disciples' feet. What do they all have in common? What they have in common comes from the derivation of the title of Maundy Thursday. Maundy comes from the Latin word mandatum, meaning commandment. It reflects the last part of our gospel reading where Jesus says, "I give you a new commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are disciples if you have love for one another." So, it's all about love. Maundy Thursday is all about love. Out of love, God spared the children of Israel from the killing of their firstborn sons. Out of love, Jesus gave the celebration of the Lord's Supper to nourish us and Christians throughout the ages. And out of love, Jesus washed the disciples' feet. And it is this latter act that I will focus on this evening, the washing of feet, something not common in today's world. And unfortunately, in these strange times of social distancing, because of the coronavirus, we cannot do an actual foot washing. But we can imagine it, or we can remember times when we have participated in such an act. Feet are an exceptionally sweaty part of our bodies. Specifically, in a pair of feet, there are normally about 250,000 sweat glands, more than any other part of the body, and they typically produce about half a pint of perspiration a day. Maybe that's more than you really want to know, but in addition, in biblical times, when people wore open-toed sandals and walked on dirty, dusty roads, feet would get exceptionally dirty. That is why a mark of hospitality in those times was to wash the feet of a guest upon arrival at a host's house. Lest you think that it's not just about today. On the other hand, wearing shoes contains the sweat from the feet and often produces bacteria which breed in dark, damp places, which is why we often have the expression sweaty feet or smelly feet. In any case, in biblical times, a servant most often would be the one to wash a guest's feet when they arrived at the host's house. That is why Peter had such a reaction to the act of Jesus washing the disciples' feet. He said, "You will never wash my feet." But that's precisely why Jesus did it. He wanted to act as a servant. Listen again to his words as he washed the disciples' feet. Just after, he said, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for that is what I am. So if I, your teacher and Lord, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have set an example that you also should do as I have done to you." He did it to demonstrate how the disciples should serve one another. To serve one another is to love one another. To serve one another is to love one another. And, of course, we are his disciples. Let me tell you just one story about the washing of the feet on Maundy Thursday. In the parish that I served in North Carolina, St. Paul's in Winston-Salem, we had a tradition of going to the jail on Maundy Thursday and doing a foot washing in the jail chapel with the inmates. Some of them had never witnessed, let alone participated in a foot washing before. So we had the readings and the sermon, and then the foot washing. We didn't do just a symbolic washing of one person's feet. My fellow clergy and I began by washing each other's feet and then invited the inmates to come forward for the washing of their feet. One or two came forward, and then a few more, and by the end, most of that unusual congregation ended up coming forward. Each person not only had their feet washed, but they washed someone else's feet. I was actually surprised about how many people participated, even given the fact that the chaplain at the jail definitely encouraged them. I couldn't help noticing, however, a large, muscular man in the back pew who did not come forward. Again, the chaplain of the jail encouraged the man to come forward for the foot washing, but he declined. And then I saw that the chaplain, who was herself a fairly large woman, went to speak to that man personally and in hushed tones so that no one else could overhear. She said something to the man, and he did come forward, but rather reluctantly. I mean, reluctantly. At that point, the foot washing was about over. So there was no other inmate to wash that man's feet. So not wanting to let the opportunity pass, I went forward to wash his feet. I admit with some trepidation. I mean, I'm not totally naive. Some of these were violent criminals. After washing his very large feet, which actually were remarkably clean, we reversed roles so that he could wash my feet. Now, I have had my feet washed many times on Maundy Thursday, but this was the most striking. With his large hands, which could have crushed my feet in an instant, he gently cradled my feet in those hands and washed my feet so tenderly that I was almost in tears. I truly felt the power of that humble act. His was a true act of tenderness, born out of reluctance, but culminating in a gracious act of love. We exchanged a hug after the foot washing, and my arms barely reached around his huge waist, but he cradled me again very softly. That foot washing I will always remember, and I believe that inmate will as well. It was a definite act of love. So even though we cannot do an actual foot washing at this time, we can do what it represents. Indeed, in this time of social distancing, when we cannot physically touch one another, the present situation actually offers some distinct opportunities. Opportunities to do acts of love. And, dare I say, much needed acts of love. Do you know someone in need? Someone vulnerable? Someone who might be all alone? Or someone simply suffering from cabin fever? A simple phone call can mean a lot. An email or text can let someone know you care. And even more, if someone is in need of critical supplies, and by this I mean, of course, toilet paper, we can leave it at the doorstep. Or we can leave a meal or a handwritten note. In this age of electronic communication, sometimes a note or card through the good old United States Postal Service can lift a person's spirits more than even an email can. Actually, I've seen people doing this, and I have seen the difference that it can make. Simply put, to serve one another is to love one another. Simple, but not always easy. It might require getting out of our comfort zones. That's what Jesus was truly trying to teach us in this act of foot washing. Maundy Thursday, mandatum, commandment. This commandment, love one another. Do acts of love. Love one another. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.